You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
Time is now.
Time is now. Let's get to it.
This is Filippo and talk about changing the world. Our guest has done that not only for himself, but for many people. And he's about to change the world again in a very different way than the way he has up until now. But before I get too carried away and give the story away, let me start with a little bit about his background. He's a quintessential American entrepreneur, an SME, a subject matter expert in the sales industry, and he's an author. He's also a man who has passion for creating, managing, and growing companies from the ground up. And since I know him personally, I'm going to add he's an all-around great guy. Prior to founding his current successful venture, Vionic, our guest created several companies in the software technology and sectors. Most recently, Costa co-founded a company in the energy drink market that today operates in over 30 countries with sales in excess of $74 million. Having authored several articles and books, our guest is recognized in many different ways and is frequently a presenter at conferences worldwide. He has studied computer engineering at Carleton University, and his career has progressed from there into a regional sales director and then a general manager with two Fortune 500 companies to managing hundreds of employees with $60 million in sales. And now, as CEO of his latest venture, Vionic, he works closely with his talented, tech-savvy team to strategically position Vionic to become a premier company in the world of social offers, providing cutting-edge marketing solutions that will revolutionize the social media world. Our guest is Costa Gara, and that is a little bit about his background. However, we are actually here to talk about something completely different, something very life-changing, when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and this is actually really exciting to be here. And where here is a really interesting place and a really interesting moment. The actual place physically is labs.wisnu.com. It is a beautiful studio in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. The physical here is a moment at Life Changes, or rather for me personally, where I've almost been stumped. As a master of change, as it says in our tagline at the beginning of the show, I have experienced a great change in myself and in a relationship with somebody that I thought I knew. And after having interviewed literally hundreds of guests, and after hearing story after story, one more compelling than the other, I don't know that I have ever heard and experienced a more compelling story than the one we're going to talk about this evening. And it's even more compelling to me because this is somebody I've known for 6 years, and so many people think they know this person. And they look at the amazing way he dresses, actually, and the successes that he has and has had, the fact that he's actually retired twice, if that gives any indication to you about the companies that he's established and the wealth that he's established. And it wasn't until now 6 or 8 years after knowing him, a month ago over lunch, that he says, "Don't you know my story?" Almost callowly, like it's a story I should have known just by looking at him. And in fact, it's a story that I never could have imagined. He is with us tonight to talk about that story because it's going to be in a book. And the book is called My Escape from Tyranny to Freedom. And you can imagine, with a title like that, that it must have some power behind it. To me, the power is even more compelling because the story starts when he was just a little boy. So before I go on, we will introduce and welcome my friend Costa Gara on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
There's that famous smile. And you do that so well. As a matter of fact, that is one of the things you're known for. You're always smiling and a joke here and there, and people coming up to talk to you, they want to know how to be successful, and you gladly share your secrets or what you've learned. There's this personality about you that is not stoppable. And where does that come from?
Can you tell, actually?
Yeah, am I talking about the right person?
I do have some personality, I guess. Yeah.
is that inherent in your family?
I'm not sure. You know, I perhaps inherited through the journey that I've experienced and I've gone over the last 20 some years, but I'm a pretty grateful guy, and I'm very happy as who I am, as human being I am today. So that's why I smile all the time.
Yes. So obviously, we can't answer any questions without going to the heart of what we're here to talk about, because as I heard in your answer there, it goes directly back to where this all started. Mm-hmm. But I do want to start before we started. You have many employees. You have a handful of companies. What is that like? People want to know that. Interestingly enough, people think they know you from that and want to know what that's like.
You mean the life I live today?
Yeah.
In ways fun, in ways very stressful. And because I often push myself to extend myself in many ways to accomplish more, to become more of who I am. And with that comes a territory of a stress and obviously all the other attributes that's associated with it. But overall, I'm very grateful. I'm blessed. And I'm just truly blessed with everything I have and what God has given me. But truly, what I have today is focused on, you know, making one success story after another. That's really my ultimate goal in life today. So,
and you know, that's one of the things I've noticed. When you speak, you're actually encouraging people to follow their dreams and to do it methodically and to actually put passion behind it. It's not about just like, oh yes, you can live a millionaire's life. That there, you have purpose behind what you're doing, and you want people to have that purpose for their lives.
For sure, absolutely. I mean, I, as you said earlier, during this period I was retired, although technically I was retired, I paid it forward, traveled around the world, and did a lot of seminars that usually my colleagues that had accomplished the same thing would charge tens of thousands of dollars a day. I went all the way to Singapore, to Australia, around the world, all the way to Europe to, you know, attend a lot of seminars, speak as a keynote speaker, totally free. I even paid for my own flights to really pay it forward. A lot of these events were put together by newbies that didn't have the funds and resources. So I volunteered as paying forward, because I remember, Philip, one day, someday, someone took my hand and walked me through that path, and he never asked for anything for return. So sort of, you know, table turns, and I wanted to pay it forward. So that's what I do.
Thank you so much for saying that. I you know, so many people say they want this and they want that, but they don't know that there's also another side to all of that. So you mentioned there's stress and there's, you know, there's a responsibility that you feel, and I don't know that everybody feels that. I think the most important thing that's interesting to me is the gratitude that you feel.
Every morning I wake up, I mean, I'm just truly blessed and very grateful, as I said. Forget about the materialistic stuff, but being healthy, being live where I live, ability to travel. You know, it's funny. A couple nights ago, my girlfriend and I were walking down the street and we saw somebody eating a banana. And I said to them, every time I see somebody eat a banana, for me, it's puzzling, it amazes me, because back home, banana was a luxury fruit. Only rich and wealthy and upper society had opportunity to have banana. So I remember probably when I was a kid, I ate banana probably once or twice. And that happened to be the fact we were invited for a New Year party to someone's house, happened to be wealthy, and there was a banana, and I think I just, you know, I grabbed one, and I think the outside of a skin, I ate everything, so.
And to be able to put that much passion into a story behind a banana, you have a passion and a story for everything I have come to note and love about you. And it all starts when you say back home in the country of?
Iran.
And the story is a very beautiful story for a few years. And then around 8 years old, the story turns horrific.
Six.
Yeah. Oh, six.
1979.
Wow.
Yeah. I was, to begin, I don't remember much prior to that day. When a revolution took place in Iran, the only thing I do remember, as we were talking earlier, is regarding my grade one school teacher. And I mentioned she was pretty. And, you know, every week, this is the only part I remember, Filippo, that every week she would bring the top three students to give them the awards, or be at a little Lego giveaway or whatever it was. I really didn't care about the toys. I just wanted to get that hug. I was six. And I worked so hard, and I never got a chance to go up there. And I remember that day, the very last day, she came to the class, and she had tears and said, today's the last day of school. It's no longer safe, and we're sending you guys home. Your parents are here to pick you guys up, and we don't know when the next time will be. And that's sort of the last memory, the recollection of my memories from those days at that age I have today with me.
Wow. And the reason is, and we'll be coming back to this conversation with Costa Gara to find out what the reason is, and then what happened after that. Literally, when I was reading the synopsis of the book, it brought me to tears. Actually, Costa had shared with me over lunch, and that brought me to tears. My hope and trust is that that won't happen during the interview. How you're able to do this, I don't know, but you lived it. So you have been living with it all these years since. So my more power to you. We will be experiencing something very special and heart-filled when we come back on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
And this is Life Changes with Filippo, indeed, because this is Filippo, and our guest tonight is a quintessential American entrepreneur. And I say this because he truly is, and having had many successful companies and still does. However, as most people who would have a conversation with him would want to ask him about that, here at Life Changes, we are much more interested in a story that is going to come out in a book this summer called My Escape from Tyranny to Freedom. What do you mean by that, Costa?
That's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
you know, really wanting to share what I've been through, what, in my view, I lived in a hell and that moment of my life. And where I am today is truly a freedom. And again, not any association with materialistic stuff. The fact that simply you can turn on the switch and it actually light comes on. Open the tap and the water flows, and the simple necessity, life necessities that many of us take for granted, I call in my definition freedom. So that is for me where I've been, where I've come, sort of I wanted to share. And I really, I've obviously, you know, experienced this about 30 years ago roughly, and it's been sitting in my heart, kept it close to my chest for a number of years. But finally, friends and family convinced that something I should share for one simple reason, not to impress anyone, but really impress upon the amazing life we live here and how often we take it for granted. So if there's one thing any of the listeners can take from this, and that is that for me is how grateful you should be based on what you're about to hear, what I experienced in that decade.
First of all, I want to acknowledge this is the very first time that you have spoken about this publicly. I'm honored that you chose our show to release this information and that you respect and honor me with this conversation. It's a book that's coming out this summer. We don't want to give away too much. However, at 6 years old, what started to happen in your country and what started to happen to your family and what started to happen to you?
So, obviously, I was very young, 30-some years ago. But sort of in a Reader's Digest, a revolution took place. You know, the kingdom was in power for quite a few decades. And obviously, the new revolution, the new regime came into power and wanted to change the whole culture. And the regime was really more of an Islamic regime that for decades, although people believed in it, not necessarily they enforced it. So what happened, a very quick overnight shift of a mood, of a religion, belief, of the way you go on day-to-day operations in your life. So that was a very sudden change. And whenever sudden changes happen, it's just bound to cause emotion and just the conflict internally. And we experienced that very quickly.
Internally, externally?
Mostly internally, yeah. It was tough because my dad was a general work in the military, and he basically reported to work. And again, as I'm just giving a Reader's Digest,
yes,
because it's almost 300 pages in the book.
Right.
So my dad reported to work as he was serving his country and never came home. And months later, after my mom did everything to search for him, they realized he was arrested, and you know, he was imprisoned for quite a few years, and that changed our life completely. I was seven at that time, and here I am, my mom, who at that time was a housewife, my sister, 9 years older than me, in school, and then myself, of course. So they had stopped and shut down the income we had through my dad's paychecks from the military. So we suddenly go from leaving a very modest middle-class family to no money overnight, like sudden change. And unlike here in North America, that we often have credit cards that you can, you know.
No credit cards.
Well, they didn't even exist back then in those countries, so.
Here's a little excerpt. When I came screaming and kicking into the world in 1972, 9 years after my sister was born, my father came into mom's hospital room wearing a massive grin and carrying a huge bouquet of flowers. As he hugged and kissed me, mom said he couldn't stop grinning. He held me in his arms, told me all the things he was going to teach me: soccer, tennis, volleyball, swimming, wrestling, math, science, how to become a leader, and anything else that came to his mind. He whispered in my ear that I would follow in his footsteps and announce to everyone who came to visit that I was destined to become one of Iran's most decorated generals. This story goes on to describe experiences you had with your father as normal children have, but there was a special bond. And then at one moment, after your father was taken into custody, you'd never saw him again until one particular day. Could you describe that?
I do remember my dad. Before I mention that, I mean, he was well dressed. He was a high-ranking officer, and he worked directly with the King of Iran. And I always saw him. I had that image of him, you know, in a three-piece suit with the cufflinks, and all the time dressed to impress. I mean, that's how military people are. And the day that my mom took me, I was, I think, 8 years old at that time. And my mom took me to visit my dad. We had a short visitation for about 5 minutes.
Who was in jail now for a period of time?
Number of months. I don't remember how many, but number of months. Finally, once when they found out where he was, and he was tortured, beaten every day, and just, I mean, I did not recognize, to be honest, my dad. I remember even back then I would jump up and down every time he's, you know, opening the door, coming home. But that day when I saw him, as if he had aged 10, 20 years in a period of 6 to 8 months, just could not recognize him.
That part of the story is called My Father is Dead. Of course, he was still alive, but for all intents and purposes, he was dead.
I mean, it was a tough moment. I mean, when I think back, as much as I can remember, 30 plus years, it was a very difficult moment that haunted me for a number of years until I was in my late 30s, where I was able to sort of put that to bed for life. It was very difficult. Seeing my father, a very powerful guy, have the ability, traveled the world. He traveled to 70 plus countries, had the driver always picked him up. And here, he showed up to the behind the glass for a visitation. I don't think he could even walk. He had lost, 30, 40 pounds, 50 pounds maybe. And just little tiny skinny guy, with beard and wrinkled. And from that day for me, it's just changed how I felt. And in my heart was as if I'm never going to have a father again, you know?
I don't want to give away too much because the story, actually, a beautiful job was done. Can we mention the biographer?
Of course.
Yeah. Michael Gonzalez.
Yeah, Dr. Gonzalez.
Gonzalez is...
He's been working with me for a number of years. Yeah, him and I work on the first book, and he spent quite a few hours, extensive time on this book, interviewing my family, my mom. He spent the last 6 months, focused religiously on this book, 12 hours a day to bring out, especially some parts that I did not feel comfortable to visit. And we'll share that later. But it was tough, but he's done a great job. So
the book is coming out this summer, 2014. If you want to be one of the first to get it or you want to know more about it, you can go to costagara.com, costagara.com. There you can learn all kinds of things that Costa is up to, but you could also sign up for the mailing list to learn about the... I'm assuming you're going to be doing book signing and that kind of stuff, maybe even speaking on the book?
Sure.
Okay. So get on the mailing list at costagara.
And many other surprises.
And many other surprises, even that I don't know? costagara.com. I could go through sections of the book, and just the titles already bring up emotions for me because children are very special. We all were children. And though I don't have children of my own, and I know you don't either, but we have children in our lives. And I can't imagine anything happening to any of them. And knowing and caring about you, knowing that you were a child, and already the story that you shared touches me like that shouldn't have happened to that child. And then it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stop right there. We'll come back and touch on some of that because I don't know if I could handle it. And then we'll talk about the part that that brings us really here is your smile and your willingness to help and to give back and your gratitude, how anybody can go through a journey and come to that. It just makes me feel like I've been through nothing and I should be grateful in this moment. So I am grateful to be talking to Costagara here on Life Changes with Filippo, live from labs.wiznu.com. Wiznu, by the way, is W-I-Z-N-U. So labs.wiznu.com. Go check us out. You'll see pictures there on Facebook of this very moment, actually. And we'll be right back here on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat.
by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and I have to tell you, it's almost funny to me that every time Costa and I get together, we laugh. And this is the first conversation that has been so serious. I'm like, let's go back to the laugh. We're talking with Costa Gara, and we're talking about the book, My Escape from Tyranny to Freedom, which is coming out this summer, 2014. On the one hand, I am so happy that we are the first exclusive, actually, to interview, because you're not doing another interview for a while until the book actually starts to come out. But that we're honored that you're doing this with us. And at the same time, it's like, oh, God, but this is the hard one. The first one is the hard one. You could learn more about what we're talking about at costagara.com, K-O-S-T-A-G-A-R-A. And you can join the mailing list right there and be one of the first to get the book. Okay, hit me with it. Give me a couple, this happened and this happened.
So what you heard so far was the easy part. The
irony.
Walk in the park. So, you know, we, as I was growing up and around early teenage years, my mom realized that it's not a safe place for me to stay. Number one, because of what my dad did. Obviously, I carried his last name. So it was inevitably, my name is going to show up on the radar of this is the son of of the general. Mm-hmm. And by this time, my dad had passed away. So my mom decided to get me out of the country. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you cannot leave until you attend the military. And in those days, Iran was in war with Iraq. They were sort of working on creating a 20 million man sort of an army, you know, to go after any country that want to attack Iran. So what they would do with the younger guys like myself at that time, you'll basically be on the front line opening the road by walking on the mines and for the rest of the trained soldiers to come through. So obviously being the only person carrying that last name for my dad, only son, my mom didn't want that to happen, obviously. So she started planning for me to get away and get out of the country. Obviously, without a passport, with lack of visa passport, the only option was smuggling. Similar to what you see often happen, people get smuggled into the United States. Mm-hmm. I had to get smuggled out of Iran. So the closest and the easiest route, ironically, not so easy, it was Turkey, a neighboring country. And make a long story short, after many interviews and months of planning and interviews and studying and research, finally I was handed over to a smuggler. And it cost a fortune. I mean, my parents have to sell. My mom had to sell everything we had, everything you can imagine. We even sold the seatbelt on my dad's car separately.
Wow.
Sort of took it off, sold it separately, and because back then it was worth more money, and don't ask me why, but we basically sold, make a long story short, everything we could, and my mom paid the smuggler to get me out of Iran, through the mountains into Iraq, into Turkey, and which is a neighboring northern part of Iran, is neighboring to Turkey, and I still remember. I remember when my mom said goodbye and handed me over to my uncle, who drove me to the terminal, bus terminal, to be reunited with a smuggler. Up to that point, my mom still had a bad feeling about it. But, you know, this smuggler had a lot of confidence, and I guess he was a great salesman. And he sold my mom on that it'll be a walk in the park, you know. Mm. 2 days later, you'll reunite with him on the other side of the border, and you'll live happily ever after. So I remember that night that we met. We got on a bus route for about 12 hours. I was a young kid. I mean, some of the pictures that we have in the book and people see, I mean, I barely weighed like 50 pounds when I was 12 years old. So skinny. And here I am with the smuggler. And I remember, this is one part I remember, when we got off the bus, it was middle of the night, almost 1 o'clock in the morning or so. He said, just a couple hours of walk and we're there. And it was pitch black. That couple of hours didn't arrive until like 5 days later. Mm. We literally walk through the mountains, 30 plus hours horseback riding, almost 30 hours or 20 some hours walking. Okay. Wow. Walking through the mountain. This is roughly just before winter in Iran. And northern part of Iran, very similar to upper state New York, very cold. Minus below freezing temperature, snow, you know, 2-3 feet of snow. So it was not a temperature or a climate that you want to travel. And here I am, a kid with the smuggler. And we arrived at the first safe house, slept there in the barn, ate some food. Next morning, get up. And I mean, next night, we obviously traveled through the nights. Mm. And we repeated that number of times until we arrived at our final safe house in Turkey, where I was reunited with another sort of a guy around his 30s, maybe late 30s, early 40s, who was also running away. Mm. So we got together there. I met him, and about probably 2 days later, we met 11 other individuals, and from there, we're all basically hell break loose. Where just about 6 hours later, from that moment where we all got into a van, we were arrested in a house. Again, the details are in the book, but we got into a safe house in a city near the border of Iran and Turkey called Van City. And we were arrested, and we were obviously taken to a prison in Turkey for 3 days, roughly. Very difficult, two small cells, 13 individuals. I was the youngest. The youngest next to me, in age-wise, was about twice my age, maybe three times my age. From there, we got transferred to a security prison by the border in Turkey, where they took everything I had. I actually had, I was carrying a book, sort of a family tree that was in my family for a couple hundred years. I carried that. I lost it. The police officers, the military police in Turkey, confiscated that. I was then obviously handed over to Iranian security. And what happened back then, there was a $5,000 bounty on each Iranian that was arrested in Turkey that was returned. Iran is a very rich country, and much richer in many ways to Turkey. So they had the money, and since they knew so many Iranians are running away, Iran put this law that hey, if you return one of our guys, we'll give you $5,000. And they were being, you know, returned back day in, day out by truckload. And so our 13 were the unlucky ones as well. And we got returned to Iran. I was in a prison for a number of weeks, and that's where I was tortured because they wanted to find out who was the smuggler. And I wanted to somehow, I mean, my uncle told me never divulge anything. So I was, I think, 12, 13 at that time. And I was beaten up. I was slashed by a belt a number of times, but I just didn't mention anything. And finally, I got sent to a maximum security prison. And I was there in the juvenile for about 6 months. And at that point, up to that point, I had never heard of my family. I don't think they even knew where I was. And so that's where my, you know, the tough part of my life started, here in the prison with many other criminals. I wasn't a criminal. I was just trying to run away into a freedom, you know, from a tyranny to freedom that I was hoping for.
Well, the details of that part of the story that you just shared, and I know that it even has its moments of worse experiences from there. You shared that beautifully, and I watched as you looked away a couple times, and as if you're either remembering or you're reliving in some way. And in some way, I'm sorry that you experienced that and that you have to relive it. In some way, I have a feeling your story is going to be very helpful to a lot of people. And that's the part that I'm most excited about. The interesting, during dinner earlier, I asked you, what about all the other children that were smuggled out? And you said,
I was in the prison, the maximum prison I was, there were about 2,500 inmates, of which three of 2,500 were in juvenile. They were 4 or 5 years older than me, so they were in their 17, 18 years old age. And the rest of 2,400 plus were much older. They were 40s, 50s, 60s. And so I was along with two other kids out of 2,500. Today, looking back, I'm pretty confident in the last 30 years, I still yet to meet one person that went through that journey, crossed the path successfully, They could be dead. They could be buried in the river. They never made it out of the country. I have not met yet one person that ran away from the country and have reached this side of the soil and this planet. So I just, I've not met. It's very difficult to endure. I would never do it. If you ask me again today, regardless of what the price value was, I never, ever. And I see all these shows on TV, amazing, what is that show called? I watch it often.
But this wasn't a show.
This was my life.
This was your life. So
and I'm at
there's no comparison.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a kid.
Yeah.
I never, ever experienced anything, not even imagined.
Well, very few people can say that they have experienced that. And that's why I think this is so important, one of the reasons. And so, because I was curious as to what happened to the other children. And so since we don't have any other children, it's a miracle that you got out, period.
Mm-hmm.
A miracle that you made it out as a child. And what's fantastic also at this end of it is that you didn't just come out a somebody, I mean, just a person. You came out Costa Gara, that so many people look up to and learn from and want to aspire to be. And you say that part of who you are today, well, decidedly, is because of what you went through.
Indeed, for sure. A lot of those experiences made me the man I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, for me, when you asked me that question at the dinner time, I mentioned to you, I was meant to be here today.
Yes.
I was meant to live, to somehow pay it forward, truly. Mm. I mentioned earlier what my vision is, my personal, not the business, what my life mission is,
mm-hmm.
what I want to do. And I think, I believe, I'm confident I have the formula how I can make an impact in this world in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a fundraising. I'm talking about how I can take this formula that somehow, unexpectedly I had to endure and experience personally, mm-hmm. what I can do with that formula, how I can teach others to, number one, most important thing, to be grateful and feel blessed, but more important, what to do with it. Because I really feel a lot of us here wake up in the morning every day. It doesn't matter if you live in this part of the world, anywhere you live, we often not happy for whatever reason. Doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have, we always complain somehow. And I'm truly, outside of materialistic stuff, I'm grateful. And I think I can, that's really what I want to do. I want to show people with this book, everything they have, it is a blessing. They should be truly thrilled to what they have. So, and what they should do with it to be successful.
Well, I am thrilled to have had this conversation with you, to have you in my life as an example, a new example. I mean, what I knew about you and what I respected, admired about you before has completely changed. Where before my mind was affected, I liked you and all of that, and my mind was affected. Now my heart's affected, and I too want to help you with your dream of helping in ways that you described, and we'll be talking about that, I know. And I'd like to continue this conversation somehow, because I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of people that have been touched by this. And if you all have been touched by this and want to know more about the book when it comes out, or get it yourself before it becomes a movie, go to costagara.com, costagara.com, and subscribe to their mailing list so that they can... They have nothing to sell you, actually, right now, except for the book once it comes out. So no risk there at all. Costa, it's always a pleasure. You always make me laugh. Today you kind of made me cry. And that takes a special person to make either of those happen.
I appreciate that. We've been a friend for a number of years, and I'm grateful. And, you know, I truly admire for what you're doing. It's paying it forward back into the community, into the society. So I'm great. I'm grateful to be a small part of that, to help you move forward with your goals. So thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. It's been quite an experience and quite a pleasure. We'll be right back with our producer's wrap with Mark Lejeune right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We are back, and we have had a small studio audience, actually, and you could hear a pin drop during the show. Mark is here for our producer's wrap. Mark.
We started this show 3.5 years ago, roughly. Somewhere around there, I believe. Maybe a little longer.
Maybe
a little longer than that. But you had approached me with an idea that you were carrying around in your heart pocket for this show, Life Changes with Filippo. And at the time, I was aspiring to be in the media world and use access to the masses for a higher purpose. And the idea was at the intersection of us wanting to share our journeys. And have a discussion about our journeys and the challenges that we were going through in our lives. And you have your story and I have mine, and our co-producer, Dorothy Donahue, has her story, and we've had many guests with their stories. And I was thinking about all of those journeys and how they all seemed like that walk in the park that Costa was referring to as he spelled out his. And what a reward for me to hear him tell the story from that place of gratitude. And with that smile and with that desire to pay it forward and give back. And well, maybe you want to comment on that before I go into another point. There's so much to say. I wish we had a whole
right
hour
on
for this. The thing that struck me as I was listening to that story is how we have become able to gloss over not just one story like this, but the millions of stories that are rationalized or propagandized away.
And that are still happening today.
That are happening by the minute under the auspice of the fight for freedom or other blanket statements that war is hell, and we just kind of then sweep it under the rug. And for just a moment, listening to that story, I was putting myself in that moment with him. And it's horrifying and unacceptable that that can be rationalized as a scenario that should be allowed to happen, much less in some cases championed because they believe it's for a higher purpose from whatever perspective that it may be looked at that moment. But it called a moment to mind recently that I was given a gift of a quote and a way to look at my journey, which again pales in comparison, but I think really spells out what Costa was speaking of, the book, and that was that the antidote to a poisonous bite comes from the very venom of the poison.
Wow.
And to look at the pain is sacred. and find the healing that comes from within that poison or within that pain. And that's exactly what Costa has done.
To now and then turn around and yeah.
And pay it forward.
Exactly. And interesting you should say that, because during dinner earlier, he kept saying that, like, I want to give back. And there was a moment we laughed because I had to dry my face. But how many people would come through half an experience like that and end up on the other side saying, and now the world owes me. Somebody owes me. Somebody better make this right. There was a reason I went through this, and it's not. And you know, whether it's they look at their husbands or their wives or whoever, you know, or the government or somebody to pay them or make it right for them. And he's turning around and saying, and I am going to make it right for others.
Yeah. and therefore making everything he went through in a way, in from his perspective, okay, because he's able to give that back and make that difference. Amazing story, amazing man, not only for you know the success he's had obviously across multiple companies, but that smile, that attitude that he's brought, and honored to have him on the show to be able to bring this forward.
And it's consistent. That's just it. It's like, you know, we've had many guests on. We don't know if the story that they're sharing or what they're showing us at that moment is who they really are, or if they walk their talk. Right. He walks his talk. I mean, as a matter of fact, he walks more than he talks. I know he's already given back, quote unquote, to many organizations and many people. And I know that only because I know him. But he doesn't talk about it, and he doesn't share, and he didn't share it today. He's saying he wants to give back. He has.
Well, you got to wonder what kind of spirit is in that flesh suit, you know. That because, you know, to go through that type of loss first of his father, to go through then the pain, the torture, while you're still, I hadn't even begun to really question life and what was going on around me at those ages.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13,
To be challenged that deeply,
right.
and have your belief system challenged and come away with it with that kind of outlook is pretty magnificent.
And we didn't even touch on the emotional and the psychological issues that could extend from that, but even in one moment of a child's life, separation of family and having a parent die, that's one thing. But thinking, for example, that the parents who tried to let their children escape, they were being tortured and all of that. And so the child saying, well, what are they doing to my mother? Is she still alive? And will I ever see her again? And to have no family at that point, when he had a sister and, you know, they had a family, they had a relationship. You know, in this very studio, just yesterday, you took pictures, you posted on Facebook of us and your son here, and we were laughing and giggling and all of that. And that was just one moment in time. That was a joyful moment. And then, God forbid, for anybody else to have that ever taken away from them, much less to go through what he went through. There's a moment in the book that Dr. Gonzalez did a really great job with, and I don't want to talk about it because I won't give it justice, but it's about sugar cubes. And I just want to put that teaser out. But in that sugar cube, he talks about the sweetness. I'm going to change his word because I don't want to give it away, but the sweetness of life experienced through a sugar cube. Almost like the banana story, right? How many moments like that can we have almost every moment? And this is our moment, and we had this sweetness together with our guest and with our studio audience here with Michael at labs.wiznew.com. I am Filippo Voltaggio. With gratitude, I am thanking our guest and Mark and Dorothy for producing our show, and for all of you for listening, and for BBS for hosting. I am Filippo Voltaggio saying, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.